This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. We'll do a little bit of AG talk. I mean, my goodness, we're going all over the place from Trump's pardons to professional wrestling to some guy wants to know if he should tell some lady to shut up in the gym. All that and more coming in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. So let's do this one. Jesse, he says, calls me all-you-can-eat shrimp shogun. I know Trump is holding a grudge, but it would be great if Trump tapped Heavy D to be AG. That's Ron DeSantis. He's a Harvard graduate, lawyer, former JAG officer. He gets termed out at the end of the year. So on and so forth. Okay, so his name is Dale. I don't know that Trump and Heavy D have a grudge like people still think they have a grudge. And I say that because it's not publicly known, but I know this. It's not widely known, I should say. It's out there. They golf together. They've golfed together. So it's not like they're not on speaking terms. Now, maybe that's just the president of the United States of America golfing with the governor of Florida because they're going to work together on things. That's inevitable. So maybe it's that. And look, there's no question Trump harbored a lot of resentment for Ron DeSantis for challenging him in that primary. Donald Trump felt like that was rightly his and that nobody should challenge him. And he really, really, really was sore about that whole thing. That was extremely obvious. I don't know that that still exists. As far as nominating Ron DeSantis, again, I want to emphasize this. It's not that I would be against it. I love Ron DeSantis. He's just been the best governor. But I don't know that that job is as sweet as people think if you're a politically ambitious person. And so let me explain. As I tried to bring up yesterday, the next attorney general is going to have less than 3 years. So we're talking, where are we at? April already? 2.5 years you've got, okay? You've got 2.5 years, and it doesn't exactly take some kind of political savant to figure out we're not going to have the House of Representatives after November, and there's a chance we won't even have the Senate. How many attorney generals? And I know it's attorneys general. That's stupid. That's not what I say. How many attorney generals have already been held in contempt of Congress? If you're the attorney general and you're doing things like going after Democrat fraud, possibly even prosecuting the deep state. Remember, we have a huge, huge case right now in Florida, a huge case being held in Florida. If you're trying to arrest John Brennan, and I hear that John Brennan might burn, if you're trying to arrest people like John Brennan, I have a headline right here. Vance Anti-Fraud Task Force suspends 221 California hospice and healthcare providers so far. Remember how deep the fraud goes, how bad it is?
Now, this is the first takedown for the new White House Fraud Task Force. They arrested two owners of two hospices here in greater Los Angeles. They're accused of collectively stealing about $16 million from taxpayers. And this money was intended, right, for compassionate end-of-life care for the terminally ill. And what they were doing was this: admitting people who are not qualified for hospice, but billed the government as if they were, about $30,000 per patient. And when the benefits ran out, they dropped them. Here's the kicker: nationally, 80% of adults admitted or people admitted to hospice die, and usually in the first few weeks. Here, almost nobody died. After 8 months, 97% left alive.
How many of these cases are going to be tied back to Democrat politicians? Let me guess, all of them. Virtually all of them when they start digging into this. Well, Mr. Click Click, I see that you had three fake hospices in Los Angeles. Huh. Who helped you get these started? Who approved? Who put their name on the dotted line and approved your business? This is all going to tie back to Democrat politicians. All right, you with me? So let's say we have Attorney General Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is going to spend his time arresting Democrats because Democrats are criminals. He's going to be arresting Democrats for this fraud stuff, deep staters like John Brennan. And we have a Democrat-controlled House, possibly a Democrat-controlled Senate. Do you have any idea what they're going to do to him and try to do to him for 2.5 years as he tries to actually arrest the deep state? Now let's go back to Ron DeSantis. And I don't know him personally. I met him one time. So it's not like we text. I don't know him. But I am assuming that he's a pretty ambitious human being. As you already said, he was an athlete, Harvard Law. I mean, this now the best governor in America. This is a young man who is ambitious. If you are a young, ambitious man who has really made your bones in the public sphere, is Donald Trump's attorney general that appealing of a job? When you know the communists are going to savage you for the next 2.5 years, I don't think that job is as appealing as people think it is. That's the problem. Jesse, now that the Bondi years are over, when can we expect to see some handcuffs on a Democrat? I don't want to get anybody's hopes up or overpromise anything in the world, but I will again emphasize what I already said, that I am hearing over and over and over again that John Brennan is probably in some serious legal trouble. No, I don't think he's going to go to prison for 30 years. I'm not freaking naive. I'm not selling you that at all. But yeah, you're right, Chris. It's something. I think John Brennan is in some significant legal trouble. Bronco, what do you know about Todd Blanche, who's filling in for Bondi? Sucks. I've never heard a single good word about Todd Blanche. Not one. Jesse, your intro music sounds a lot like WWE wrestler AJ Styles. Curious your take on professional wrestling. I loved professional wrestling when I was a kid. Don't shake your head. Chris, you were never into professional wrestling, even when you were a kid? That's so weird. Maybe it was just not. No, I don't like plays, too. It's not like plays. A young man gets into professional wrestling. But then again, and I hate to do this back in my day thing, we had Hulk Hogan back in the day. Hulk Hogan was a national icon. People your age, Chris, do not understand how big Hulk Hogan was in the United States of America back when I was a kid. He was just a really, really, really big deal. Rest in peace to the Hulkster. Yeah, I was totally into professional wrestling when I was a kid. Friggin' loved it. You know what I don't love? Our country being pillaged by foreigners and jobs going to foreigners. Headline. Outrage as Oracle fires thousands after foreign work. Let me just read from the article because the headline's just the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. According to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services data, Oracle, the company, filed for roughly 3,126 petitions to employ H-1B visas in fiscal years 2025 and 2026. And on Tuesday of this week, they sent out an email that fired thousands of people. Corporate America, I don't think they're reading the tea leaves very well. And this is many, many, many companies in corporate America. I'm not just isolating Oracle. Companies in the United States of America, major corporations, have been firing American workers and hiring foreigners for a very long time. This has been the legal pillaging of our country for a very long time. Because that's the way they've gotten used to doing business, I think maybe they don't have their political ear to the ground. And they don't understand that there is a severe backlash coming. It will not be under the Trump administration because he's also one of those guys. I wish he wasn't, but it is what it is. Like I said, Trump's the beginning. He's not the end. He's one of those guys. His friends are all those guys. But in the future, the right is going to begin to punish these companies as they should be punished. When they lay off 10,000 American workers and then go grab 10,000 people from India and pay them 2/3 of what the Americans were making, The legal pillaging of the United States of America must stop. And if you are a business, I know the bottom line matters. I know you got to make money. I know shareholders. I understand all that. I applaud you. If you are still firing American workers by the thousand and then bringing in foreigners by the thousand, you are signing up for a rough political future for yourself, and you will freaking deserve it. I'm sick of this crap. Start hiring American workers. At least we have a relief factor. At least we have a 100% drug-free supplement that takes our pain away. Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It was developed by doctors. If you think you're going to be alone, you're not. Over a million people have tried it. Do you know how many people, after they use it for 3 weeks, call and order more? That's what they sell you, 3 weeks of it for $19.95. You know how many people? Almost 70% pick up the phone again after 3 weeks and say, oh my gosh, send me more. That pain that bothers you all the time, that holds you back from doing things you love or makes life just hurt, you don't have to accept it. You don't have to live with it. Relief Factor is there, waiting. They're a phone call away. 1-800, the number for relief. Or if you don't like talking on the phone, like me, go to relieffactor.com. 3 weeks of it's $19.95. 1-800, the number for relief, relieffactor.com. Some woman's getting too loud at the gym. And more, next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Bronco, I have a theory why all the blue-haired obese hags that populate the affluent white female liberals want our streets filled with illegal alien rapists because they're so starved for affection. No, listen, let me explain this again. Human beings are biologically engineered by God for certain things. You are born with certain things. Men, if you had a newborn baby today and you hopped in a time machine and you went back to medieval times and you began to raise that young boy, let's say it was a boy, back in medieval times, I promise you, cross my heart and hope to die, that he would eventually find a stick that he would treat as a sword. He would pretend it was a sword. He would fight imaginary things. Today, it's a gun. Everything's a gun. Or a firearm of some kind. Every single thing is. Why? Men are born to be fighters and warriors. That's why our bodies are constructed the way they're constructed, with bigger shoulders and bigger hips and more muscle mass. Men are made, that's how God made them, because he knew that was going to be part of their role in society. Women, just the exact same thing. If you threw that little baby girl back in a time capsule and went all the way back in history, she would eventually find a doll or toy of some kind that she would treat like a baby she's raising. Chris has a daughter. Has she hit the baby phase yet, Chris? Oh, yeah, Chris is just nodding. Of course she has. It's in them. It's how God made them. Doesn't mean every woman is going to be a mother or that every woman should be a mother, but that is how women are definitely created. They are created that way, to be nurturers and mothers. Now, if you are a communist, that creates for you a wonderful opportunity. What opportunity? Well, take those motherly instincts and channel them into making her a mother of the revolution. Make her the mother of that criminal who's been committing crimes his whole life. If you start working on her social media, social circles early, get her off to college. That's her communist finishing school. By the time she graduates, that multi-time felon will be, in her mind, her baby. Has to be protected. She'll fight for him. She'll kill for him. She'll die for him. Make the illegal, the foreigner, Make him your baby. Make the gay movement, all the LGBTQ stuff, those are your babies. And how does a woman act when her child is threatened? She will fight and die for her child. It is how God made them. Women are that way. She will fight in a heartbeat for her child and happily die for them. I am here to tell you, you may be under the impression that these communist women, if they are themselves robbed or mugged or raped or something like that, that they will then have a change of heart about the foreign barbarians or criminals. And I'm here to tell you the vast majority of them would not change at all. They wouldn't hesitate even a little bit to continue to fight on behalf of the communist revolution because she's a mother. That is why they are the way they are. And that is why, if you are the parent of a daughter, or maybe you are one of those daughters listening right now, you need to be so, so careful, because they are after you. They view you as the ultimate recruit. And they also know this. What have I said before? When do women turn communist? In college. And when do men turn communist? When they marry one. I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. You sent your baby girl off to college and you paid $50,000 a year because she said, "Daddy, Daddy, I've always wanted to go to school here." And you got back a blue-haired freak who hates your freaking guts. She gained 75 pounds and shaved her head. And now you don't even recognize her anymore. You sent her off to college. And dudes, I have one rule in my house for my sons. I don't control them. You love who you love. You date who you date. As long as it's a woman, by the way. You love who you love. You date who you date. Democrats are not welcome in my home. I can't even stop you from dating one, by the way. I'm not going to control them like that. If you ever date a Democrat, she is unwelcome in my home. That is because I love my sons, and I know to marry one will destroy your happiness and possibly destroy yourself. I've seen it 1,000 times, and I know there are exceptions. I know you're typing up an email right now, but Jesse, my wife is a Democrat. I got that. I understand there are exceptions. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, I get emails from parents. I talk to friends. My son married a liberal. Now he hates us. Now they won't let us visit without vaccination. Now they won't let us visit anymore because we voted for Trump. My son won't stand up to her. Women become communist in college, and men become communist when they marry a communist. Over and over and over again. All right. Let's finally address leftover meat, the lady who's too loud at the gym, and Trump's pardon problem. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the United States of America. I about said it's the United States. I mean, I guess it is the United States of America, Chris. That's what we are, after all. It's the Jesse Kelly Show. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. The subject of this one is loud black woman. Jesse, I'm a white guy married to a black woman. And yes, they tend to get a little loud at the movies, and she'll sing when cooking, etc. But there is a different black lady at my gym that is over-the-top loud singing that even my headphones, listening to the great Jesse Kelly, I can still easily hear her. It's obnoxiously loud. It's got to the point where if I see her in the gym, I'll leave and go do an outdoor workout. Am I allowed to say anything, or do I just let this go? Well, I'd let it go. Or consider approaching the gym management and bringing the problem to them. Gym management should already be addressing that kind of behavior. You know, they always have signs up in the gym, don't slam the weights, don't do this and that, trying to make sure people can't ruin the gym experience for other people. So ideally, the gym should have addressed that behavior anyway. But since they haven't, either bring it to them or let it go. The reason I bring this up is this. Confronting a woman. Now, if you're a man, you don't ever let a woman trample all over you. You're not a rug. But confronting a woman is almost always a lose-lose situation for the man. Do you believe you are going to tap that young lady on the shoulder and tell her to pipe down and she's going to do it? You've just embarrassed her, maybe angered her. What are you going to do if she starts getting loud? You then have to slink away, which looks weak, or you can start yelling too, which looks terrible because other men, and frankly probably other women, are going to instinctively be on her side because she's the woman and you're the man. There is very, very little that can turn out well for a man by confronting a woman in a public space who's doing something poorly. Just walk away, go do some push-ups outside, and let it go. Or tell the gym management. Jesse, my wife ordered a catered Easter dinner featuring 5 pounds of sliced leg of lamb for 8 people, but we're only having 4 people. Her reasoning is, well, we'll have leftovers for the week. I can't argue with that kind of logic. I should say something about the leftovers, but I learned from past mistakes. not to upset the apple cart and just let it go. Am I right or wrong on this one? I think you are underselling. Many people undersell the glory of leftover meat. Leftover meat presents you with so many freaking options. I've told you about that we make brisket before. Very rare. I'd say twice a year I make a brisket. Well, when you make a brisket, we always make too much. That's on purpose. Why? Well, it's going to be brisket week in the Kelly household. It's brisket sandwiches. We get some hamburger buns at the store, brisket sandwiches the next night. I will get some tortilla chips. I will make brisket nachos the next night. Ob will, and you can do this with the lamb for sure. That's a good point, Chris. Lamb is great leftover meat. Ob will get pitas. Get a pita. Throw that lamb in a frying pan with some onions, some butter. Maybe drop some cheese on there, scoop all that gloriousness in a pita or in a tortilla or something like that. Leftover meat is glorious. Throw all that crap in a frying pan with some butter, or even better, eggs. Nothing better than leftover meat with eggs. Hey, Jesse, shouldn't we be at least a little bit concerned about the president's pardon of Joseph Schwartz? All right, so I haven't really talked about it. Maybe you've heard about it. Joseph Schwartz was a nursing home operator. He was convicted of $39 million in fraud. Donald Trump pardoned him 3 months into a 3-year sentence. The families of some of the patients, they were actually awarded millions of dollars in lawsuits, but they still haven't gotten their money yet. So these families were defrauded. The lawsuits came in. Hey, this guy owes you millions of dollars. But they don't have their millions of dollars. And then Donald Trump stepped in and sprung this guy from prison early. Very, very early. 3 months into the sentence. So I told you that. And I'll tell you another story. Now this one's a little closer to home. I know it's true. There is a wealthy guy, not that I know, but that I had a connection to in Montana. He's not a friend. He's not even what I would call an acquaintance, but a connection to in Montana. He was looking to buy a big piece of property. Had all kinds of money. So I asked, how'd he get all this money? Well, he was a finance guy. A finance guy who did some very illegal things, got arrested, got convicted, got sentenced to a long time in prison. I think it was 10 years. Got a pardon from Donald Trump. Apparently, this guy is either business partners or friends, I don't know, with Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law. That stuff looks bad. It looks really bad. It just does. What do you want me to say? I don't have anything else to say about it. And this is not a one-off. This has happened quite a few times. Donald Trump pardons some really scummy people who've done some really, really bad things. I hate the presidential pardon process. Remember Joe Biden, because he was non-functional, pardoned all kinds of scumbags. And we were mad about that. But this guy did this and this guy did that. Look, if you want to pardon somebody because you think he got a raw deal in a trial or something like that, that's fine. When you're pardoning friends, donors, people who've lobbied you, that looks terrible, especially when you're out there cracking down on things like fraud.
Now, this is the first takedown for the new White House Fraud Task Force. They arrested two owners of two hospices here in greater Los Angeles. They're accused of collectively stealing about $16 million from taxpayers. And this money was intended, right, for compassionate end-of-life care for the terminally ill. And what they were doing was this, admitting people.
Okay, so you correctly deployed J.D. Vance out there to crack down on this fraud. They're already cracking down. There have already been arrests. It's obvious to anyone paying attention that J.D. Vance is going to be the face of anti-fraud, that it is setting J.D. Vance up to campaign on something in 2028, and that is good. Trump did good. J.D. Vance is being good. Now, when we start campaigning on that, fraud, we're going to crack down on the fraud. They're fraud. Fraud is bad. This is something that is appealing to Americans because Americans are struggling right now. We don't like thieves. We want the fraud to stop. Can't afford groceries. J.D. Vance is going to make it a central plank of his campaign. What are the Democrats going to say? Well, then why'd you pardon Joseph Schwartz? It hurts us. Anyway, we'll move on. Do other stuff. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can get those emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, I have what could be perhaps your toughest question to date. It's an hour before you go on the air, and you get a call from your lovely wife that there's a family emergency that you must attend immediately. There's no time to coordinate a guest host, so you're stuck with asking Chris or Corey to cover for you. Who would you trust and why to carry the heavy weight of guest hosting the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show? Oh, man. You guys are better off just turning off the radio. It's just, well, here's the thing. You have to be in love with the sound of your own voice in order to do what I do. I'm not sure if Chris or Corey love the sound of their own voice quite enough to do what, Corey? What? Corey said he's had his own radio show. Yeah, but it probably sucked. Or it's what? Okay, but both of them actually have a voice that could probably do radio. Neither of them have, squeaky women's voices. Neither of them sound like Lindsey Graham, so they both have the voice for it. You know what? I'll tell you what. I think they could probably do it together because they goof off together. I think they could probably do it together. What, Chris? What? Chris said goofing off together is their whole job. It really is. I mean, they hang out outside of work. They goof off during the show while I'm over here carrying the load. I think they could probably do it together. And Corey, Corey has done a radio show, as he said. Chris has been in radio as long as I have, if not longer. So they could get in and out of breaks. I don't know that I can choose one. I would probably be Corey because he's done one, but I think they would have to do it together. The problem is I only have one microphone. When they built this studio here, they asked, well, do you want a separate microphone for when you have guests who are in studio? Well, I had to fill them in on a couple things. First of all, I don't have a lot of guests. What, once a week? Maybe twice a week we'll have a guest on the show. I don't like a lot of guests. I just prefer to do all the talking myself. That's one. Two, we don't allow guests in the studio. We have never, Chris, have we ever one time had it? We have never one time had a guest in the studio. And we've had multiple people ask, hey, I'm in town. I'd be happy to come in the studio. I'm sure you would, but you're not welcome in the studio. And here's why they're not welcome in the studio. This is our sanctuary. This is where we have fruit snacks, and we have, this is our own little sanctuary here. You get one guest in here. It'll be some guy, well, I'm running for Senate or something like that. Here it'll be some dime who's on the news. Let me tell you my opinions or something like that. You can't ever get rid of them. They'll get there, and they'll just want to hang. Well, can we do another segment? No. I thought you kind of sucked on the last one. Get out. It prevents me from having to be a jerk. No. No one else is allowed in here. So I only have one microphone. Jesse, you claim to be an idiot, but you're always reading. I claim to be smart, but I don't read much. Not because I don't like it, but because I read so slowly. On average, about a page a minute, then my mind drifts and I have to read it all over again. My question is, for someone who claims to be an idiot, how fast do you read? How many pages a minute? How many pages a minute? A minute's not very long. I'm a pretty fast reader, but I certainly wouldn't call myself a speed reader. I'm totally guessing here. I would guess 3 or 4 pages, maybe 5 pages, I would think. I'm a pretty fast reader. Now, I can get stuck in the exact same trap you get stuck in, especially now because I read so much nonfiction. I used to be only fiction, you know, spy novels and that kind of guy novels, right? That's what I always read, all the Jack Reacher books and Mitch Rapp books. And I read everything Robert Ludlum ever wrote. Robert Ludlum wrote amazing books. The Bourne Identity, that movie that Matt Damon butchered, those are Robert Ludlum books. Chris, if you think the Bourne Identity movies were good, you will read the books and you will be mad at yourself for ever uttering that. Those movies are pathetic compared to the books Robert Ludlum wrote about it. And no, I know it's a bold statement. I'm telling you, I read the books years before they started making the movies. And when I heard they were going to make the movies, I was so excited, like anyone else. Hey, I can watch it come to life. I think I walked out of the theater. They're that bad. And by the way, the Jason Bourne in the movies is a weak chump compared to the Jason Bourne in the books. He wrote another book. Robert Ludlum wrote another book. The Prometheus Deception. It wasn't a series. It was only one book. If you're a dude and you're into like super spy type books, like Jason Bourne type things, The Prometheus Deception is amazing. So I read a lot of that. I read some Tom Clancy stuff. I didn't love as much of his stuff as other people did. I like Without Remorse. And I like some of Clancy. But anyway, I used to read a lot of fiction books. Now I read a lot of nonfiction books. One, because they interest me. They're always history books. And two, because it helps me prepare for the show. It gives me history ideas so I can go off on stupid little tangents just like I'm doing now. It gives me ideas for the show, right? Well, the problem is history writers oftentimes are brutally boring. Sometimes it's understandable, sometimes it's not, but they will start going into mind-numbing detail that slows the story down to a freaking crawl. So the army is getting ready to go on the attack or something like that. Then he goes off on a 5-page tangent about what the troops are eating, about what this guy said, about how this guy, this guy resigned at this date. So my mind will wander too. I'll blow through three or four pages and then I'll be like, what did I just read? You're not alone in that. Anyway, we still have an hour. Chris, we have a whole hour left. Hang on.